Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8, I want you to find verse number 23. Daniel chapter 8, verse number 23. Stand with me if you would please. We do this out of reverence to the Word of God. Daniel chapter 8, verse number 23. The Bible says this: in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. Now the next few words where we'll get today's sermon, it says then, and by peace shall destroy many. And by peace shall destroy many. Look back at me, if you will, please. I've entitled the sermon today, The Pathway to Peace. This passage that we just read, it's actually a passage of Scripture in regard to prophecy and what things that will happen in the end time. I want to talk to you today about the subject of the pathway to peace. And let's pray. Father, bless us with thy presence. Lord, help this sermon to make a difference in our lives. Obviously, we'll learn something about the Scripture today, but God, we need it to apply to our lives, to our families. Father, we need it to apply to our country. Bless us now with thy presence. Spirit of God, reach down and give us a little extra from heaven to make this sermon applicable to our lives so we might be better because of it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. It is soon presidential election time, and there will be talk about this subject of peace. And I'm glad. I'm for that. I'm for them talking about peace. You've heard of peace talks, and they'll be talking about peace. They'll be talking about foreign policy. And so many times we think foreign policy just has to do with trading with other countries, but that's not all it has to do with. It has to do with the peace among the countries of our world. And everybody talks about peace, and everybody wants peace, and there's nothing wrong with that. In the end times, the Bible prophecies, in the end time, the Bible prophesies that a one-world dictator is going to come on the scene. He is called in one place the beast out of the earth. He's called in another place the man of sin. But this one world dictator that will come on the scene will be wicked and evil and ruthless. He'll be shrewd. He'll be worse than any Hitler was ever. He'll be worse than a Mussolini, a Saddam Hussein. He'll be worse than an Osama bin Laden. In the middle of the tribulation period, he becomes the devil incarnate, virtually. He will conquer the entire world. We call him the Antichrist. Now, how in the world will he take over? By what method will he use to destroy many? Well, let me say to you, this prophecy that we just read from Daniel chapter 8, verse number 25, it used these words. It says, and by peace shall destroy many. And by peace shall destroy many. There are no mistakes in the Bible. God has not made a mistake. And ushers, you can help me right here, if you will. This is perfect timing. We can have a seat there toward the back. So here, how in the world is he going to destroy many? Well, says by peace. Will he use a machine gun in the end time? No. His plan is to use peace. Will he use a flamethrower, the Antichrist, in the end time? No. He's going to use peace. Will he use poison? No. He'll use peace. Will he use a bomb? No. Here it said he will use peace. Will it be chemical warfare that he'll try to use? No. He's going to try to use the weapon of peace. Will he use radiation? No, according to Daniel chapter 8, verse number 25, he'll destroy many by way of peace. The great weapon used by Satan in the end time destruction and all of his terror will be peace. He won't use war. He'll use peace. You know, I wish in the year of a presidential election that somebody would listen to an old-fashioned preacher use the old-fashioned word of God to give us warnings about this thing called peace. Peace. And folks, peace is the fruit of the willingness to fight. Peace is the result of war, not the result of itself. You know, the hurricane hit Florida. When it came on land, they had said it was an actual hurricane. We know that it downgraded and it was a tropical storm when it came through our area. But can I tell you something? You can have a storm on Friday and Saturday. Y'all see how beautiful it is outside today? What a peaceful day. Following the storm came the peace. And peace is the fruit of the willingness to fight. Peace is the result of doing what is right. We get peace as a result of fighting for what is right. You get peace as a result of fighting for what is good. You get peace as a result of fighting for that which is holy. Folks, a nation dedicated to disarmament will end in destruction. A nation that's not willing to fight will be a nation that will be destroyed. We had a dog growing up. Her name was Ambitious. Ambitious, I don't know why we named her Ambitious, but Ambitious, if you got into Ambitious's territory, she had a smile. And she, her, I don't know how she did it, her lips and gums would fold back and you could see her teeth and just look like she was smiling at you. So if you went over toward Ambitious's bull, Ambitious would go, smile at you real big. Can I tell you something? If our nation does not show her teeth from time to time, somebody is going to steal us blind. A nation dedicated to disarmament will end in destruction. A nation that will not fight will be a nation that will be dominated and destroyed. War produces more peace than peace produces peace. More lives have been saved through war than have been saved through peace. And if you're a visitor today and you say, oh, I'm appalled. Well, I have to tell you, I'm not a warmonger. I'm a peace lover. But according to the scripture, you don't get the calm until the storm has passed through. Personally, I hate to fight, but I will. But I will. More lives have been saved by those who fight for right than by those who, for the sake of peace, give in to wrong. Liberals' hearts are in the right place, but their brains are not concerning this thing called peace. They say you get peace by way of peace, and I say, and God says, in this sin-cursed world, you get peace by way of war. How many of you claim to know the Bible? Would you raise your hand? You say, I know the Bible. I believe the Bible. How many of you believe the Bible? Oh, good. Fantastic. The greatest war that will ever be fought is yet to come. It is called the war or the battle of Armageddon. And it will be a war. It will be the war of wars. All evil will rise up against the God of the universe and there will be a war. And after that war is settled, all of eternity will be peace. Amen. But you don't get to that eternity of peace without coming by way of Armageddon. You say, Pastor, you're scaring me. Well, I'm not trying to predict a war or anything. I don't want you to feel that way. I'm trying to teach you a concept. When he said, I will conquer by way of peace. Oh, my. Let me make this a little more understandable. To have peace in your home, sometimes you must go to war. I think there's a lot of scripture about our homes and our families. And the Bible teaches us about having children, as happy as the man that hath his quiver full. Now, I just want you all to know there are different size quivers. But I believe this. I think to have peace in your home, there are some times when you're going to have to go to war. If you say, I'm going to have peace in my home at any cost, well, you may destroy your home that way. You may destroy your marriage that way. You may destroy your children that way. You don't have peace with your kids by giving them their way all the time. And if you do, that peace will be short-lived. You'll have peace with your kids by saying, this is how it's going to be. If you don't like it, you can lump it. People are always giving in to their kids. All you're doing is you're putting off an eventual war. You show me parents that won't discipline their kids, I'll show you a big war in the near future. See, it's war now, peace later. Peace now, war later. Parents, we get to the point we can't stand war, so we stop fighting for right with our kids. So a far more devastating war will eventually erupt. Your giving in is merely delaying the war. And let me tell you something, you're better off fighting the war with your kids while they're younger, because when they get 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, they can fight louder and harder. And I say to you, you say, I want peace in my home. Well, Dad, stand up and say, this is how it's going to be. You say, that might ruffle their feathers. Ruffle now, and everything will calm down later. And I know for some of you say, oh my, this seems so strong. I'm just telling you. You don't get peace by giving up everything. You get peace by taking a stand and saying, this is right, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to be. Sometimes husbands, sometimes dads step up and they say, this is how it's going to be. And if you love them, you give them peace by going to war. And yes, it's uncomfortable, but it's an expression of love. Your kids need to know you'll fight for right even with them. Some of you parents that have reared decent kids, you know exactly what I'm telling you. There are just sometimes you have to say to the kids, look, I want peace in the house, but if you're going to fight me, fine, we'll fight. And I'm not talking about physical fight. It'd be bad for some of you guys. Your boy would take you out. And so would your daughter. I want to praise God today that there were times when my mom and dad, they wanted peace in our house. But there were times if I'd get out of line and I'd puff up with my mom and dad, my mom and dad say, you calm down. If I wouldn't, they wouldn't either. My mom and dad wouldn't back down. My mom and dad would not be controlled. My mom and dad said, we are the parents here, and what we say will go on in this house, and you will not tell us how it's going to be. And mom and dad stood up. And yeah, there was a moment of tension. But the peace came. You don't get peace by negotiating everything away. You just don't. Your kids need to know you will fight for right, even if it is to take a stand with them. And sometimes even your spouse. Spiritual man ought to be able to say to his wife, we're not going to allow that right there in our house. Say, well, wonder if she doesn't like it. Well, negotiate what you can before she knocks you out. We come from such a politically correct environment today for a man to say what I'm saying. To some of you, you're just on edge about it. But I'm just going to tell you, the truth of the matter is, every once in a while, somebody's supposed to say, that's not going to happen here. We're not going to do that. And somebody's going to maybe throw a tizzy and throw something and get mad. You say, well, I don't want that in my house. You better go to war for right now, or you'll have a war over wrong later. I'll guarantee it. Peace should be sacrificed for the sake of right, and peace should be sacrificed for the sake of holiness. I want peace at any cost. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does want us to have peace, but if we must give up peace to take a stand for right, then we give up peace for the sake of right. My parents took me to the woodshed and produced peace at our house. It was not peaceful in the woodshed. But it was peaceful in the house. Correct them while they're young, or you'll have a greater war when they get older. How will the Antichrist destroy many in the end time? It said that he would use peace to destroy. Boy, isn't that happening in this day and age? Secondly, to have peace in a nation, sometimes you have to go to war. On American soil, we've not had war since Osama bin Laden and the bombing of our country. And, by the way, at that time, President Bush stepped up and declared war on terrorism. And he called it that, and he wasn't afraid to call it that. Folks, do you realize that, and there's a peace that we've had since then. We've had a peace since then. But what happened was somebody declared war on evil, which produced a time of peace. You know, World War I, World War II brought America peace for generations. Hey, before Osama bin Laden bombed us, and so you know, I still think it's evil, and I still think it's bad, and I still think it's terrorism, and I still think it's wrong. But let me tell you something. Prior to that bombing, there were years and years and years and years of peace that America enjoyed. Lest you don't understand it, that's because somebody way back went to war in World War II and let everybody know America showed their teeth. Said, don't you mess with us, so you enjoy peace as a result of the war. Peace comes when police fight back as evil tries to terrorize our neighborhoods and our country. You don't take the gun away from the police officer in an effort to keep peace. You don't do it. You don't take. Now, I'm not for anybody being abused, ever. I want everybody treated justly and right. But if you take the gun away from the good guy, hey, no, I don't see anybody practicing gun control with the bad guys. I would love to hear the two presidential candidates plan on taking guns away from the bad guys. To have peace in a nation, you sometimes have to have war. Turning a neighborhood over to the thugs does not produce peace. It'll create more harm and more war. Why do you think through history that countries being overtaken by evil have fought back? And fighting back, they knew that if they would fight back, they were seeking peace. That's what they wanted. Folks, the Mexican border will not have real peace if they submit to the drug lords and the thugs. Say, what do you do? Somebody better show them their teeth. Somebody just needs to take the drug lords and beat the snot out of them and let them know we're not going to put up with this. That's a little rough for some of you, isn't it? Throughout the Bible, we see God who loves peace, allowing war so that war will produce peace. Because in a sin-cursed world, you have to take a stand for what's right. How will the Antichrist destroy many in the end time? It'll be peace. The concept that I'm teaching you is if you're not all careful and you all become so lovey-dovey, and hey, I'm for you loving people. I love God, I want you to love people, but I'm going to tell you something. If you become so lovey-dovey that you won't take a stand for what's right, if you're not willing to fight for right because you're going to give it all up trying to accomplish peace, you're going to lose it all is what you're going to do. You'll lose it all. In a home, every once in a while, there's got to be a little bit of war as we're keeping ourselves on track. In a country, every once in a while, somebody's going to have to stand up for what's right, and there'll be some tension, then there might be some chaos, there might be some difficulty. Well, what are we doing? We're trying to anchor down the right, and war produces peace. The hurricane came through, and today is one of the most beautiful, peaceful days in nature you'll see. Armageddon will be fought for the peace of eternity. It's just the way it is. May I say this? To have peace in a church, sometimes you have war. We have to come to the point in our lives when we want right more than we want peace. Let me give you a verse that you all know. Psalm 126, verse number 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." That's almost the same concept here. Tears are not fun. Tears there was not happy. Someone's not full of bliss at that moment. No, there's something hard happened, but that hardness followed the joy. So they that sow in tears, which is hurt or pain, will reap in joy, which is equivalent to peace. What would happen if we reverse that? They that sow in joy shall reap in tears. See, all I did was reverse the concept. You sow in tears, you reap in joy. You sow in joy, you'll reap in tears. Somewhere along the line, you're going to have to pay the price that brings peace. And that's standing for what's right. Our church has a wonderful spirit here. We have a great spirit. We have a great unity. If there is any division anywhere in our church, I know nothing about it. We're on the same page. And if you're new in our church, don't come here and start causing division. You say, why? Because you and I will go to war. You say, but you're such a nice guy. Don't let the smile fool you. I can pop a joke in anywhere and use humor at any time, but I've got a smile to me just like ambitious. Now, how do you get that kind of peace? I tell you what, a preacher for years preaches right and takes a stand and stands no matter what it costs him. He stands for what's right, and it brings a certain peace and a good atmosphere in the church. And when you enjoy that, you see, by throwing a fit every once in a while, that'll help us keep peace. You know, if the only thing I ever preached was lovey-dovey and kindness and gentleness, and if that's the only thing that ever came across this podium, we would not have the unified, peaceful spirit that we have. You say, well, how do you get a unified spirit? Well, the preacher stands up and he throws some fits. He says, knock off the gossip. That's wrong. You say, that makes me mad at you. Well, the preaching and you may go at war a little bit, but by telling you to shut your mouth and not gossip and get off Facebook and talking about things that is none of your business, by me going to war, it helps to accomplish a peace in the unity of the church. So a pastor that's not afraid to go to war in the pulpit will help keep peace in the pulpit. But if the pastor is always going, if he goes around all the time saying, peace, 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 I want to make you happy and 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 you happy, I'm not going to be able to keep everybody happy. We're going to have war anyway. So you know what? I might as well just go ahead and make you mad every once in a while and tell you, knock it off! Because that's what creates peace. The man that is building our new auditorium, he said, I like coming around here. You all seem to get things done. I said, well, we try. He said, and I'll tell you one reason why. He said, it is obvious you scripturally, your church is set up to where there is pastoral leadership here. He said, it seems to me like you take the bull by the horns and we go. I said, well, I don't know about the bull, but the heifer, we're... You ever been in a church where you can't figure out where the leadership is and it's everything's mamby-pamby, soft britches, tail between the legs, cotton ball, everything? I'll tell you what. What happens, though, if we're willing to go to war, hey, scripturally, for the things that God would have us to go to war for, you might have some bumps along the way, but you can have a very peaceful atmosphere. You know, I'll throw a fit about pornography, and I'll throw a fit about nudity, and I'll throw a fit about rock and roll music, and I'll throw a fit about drinking, and I'll tell you, develop your character, and fornication is wrong, and I'll throw a fit about all that. But and every once in a while, there'll be some little wars that will go on about it, but those wars can produce a peace in a church. So, if you recently joined our church and you're enjoying the great spirit and you say, wow, this is fantastic. Well, I have to tell you, every once in a while, there might be a touch of war. I don't want it. I don't foresee it, but there could be. I don't know of a war that's on the horizon. I don't want there to be war. But I have got to make sure that I will fight for what is right. Our deacons know this. I'll fight for what is right. If you're a liberal and somehow you've slipped into our congregation, I need to serve notice to you, I will fight for the old-time religion. This thing of the King James Bible, it's not a game to me. It's real all the way to the core. And this thing of the local New Testament church and soul winning and separation from the world, that's not that I'm not just dabbling in religious things. You will never hear me call God God. He's God. If you want peace, somebody has to preach in such a way that everyone knows war is available over right. Did you know that little splits prevent big splits? If I get up and throw an ever-loving fit about the King James Bible and somebody takes their NIVKEYMOUSE and walks out the door and says, I'm never coming back, I'd rather have that one leave over our stand from the Bible than to have that one come infiltrate the church and convince them of something less. And I don't know of anybody in here that I don't know of anybody in my church that would disagree with that stand. I don't. Churches change when preachers get tired of fighting. They seek peace through compromise, which produces big war eventually. I seek peace through little fights that must be waged for right, and I don't enjoy it. I hate fighting. I hate fighting, but it's my obligation. So you all know, there'll be times when if you come to me and ask my advice, I'm not afraid to tell you when you're wrong. I will not seek peace with you at any cost. I just won't. You come, you say, I want your advice. I'm not afraid to say, you're thinking wrong. You're not going to do that right. I'm not afraid to do that. You say, isn't there a little tension in that? You got to thank God for somebody to be willing to war with your opinion over the Scripture so you don't create a massacre in your life over a war that will come later because of bad decisions. How will the Antichrist destroy many in the end time? The Bible said by peace. I'd love for your family and the atmosphere in your home to be peaceful all the time, but it will not be because there is a devil, and a dad or a mom every once in a while is going to stand up and say, we're not doing that, you're not going there, you're not going to act that way, you won't date him, you won't do that, you will not listen to that music. And you say, well, the hair on the back of their neck's going to stand up. Well, get some clippers and cut it off. And a nation will never have peace if everybody is doing everything. Hey, I believe this with my whole heart. You don't negotiate with terrorists. Say, what do? They bring it on. That's what they understand. You say, you're a mean man. You don't know me. I am not a mean man. I'm taking a scriptural stand. I'm teaching you what the Bible teaches here. This is not my nature. I don't like to fight by nature. I require myself to teach like this because I think it's what the Bible teaches. I think Christian schools, everywhere across this nation, there are schools that ought to take the word Christian off their school because they're not much that anymore. They're glorified public schools, and I'll tell you why. Because administrators are afraid to go to war over the rules in their handbook, and that because they want peace. I can tell you how to get peace in your Christian school. You go to war. We don't just play the Christian school game. I have to tell you, maybe someday God will give us a Christian school here at this church. A friend of mine recently told me, he said, look, really, if you have an enemy, advise them to start a Christian school and they'll self-destruct. Yeah. Anytime you're educating people's children, boy, it's a war. I mean, it's war. And Christian school can be that way, and I'll tell you why. You got to keep your finger on it constantly. You're always fighting battles in a Christian school. And the Christian school will go bad, and you'll mess up the lives of all the kids if somebody doesn't stay on it and keep it right with God, which causes what? There's got to be some wars every once in a while. All the chapel services can't be lovey-dovey. Somebody's got to get in there and shuck the corn and tell the kids you're going to knock it off and live right if you're going to come to this Christian school. Hey, stay with me. Get this. To have peace, there's going to be war. That's that way in your family. It's that way in a nation. It's that way in a church. It's that way in a Christian school. I think it's that way in your mind. And if you came to be helped today, some of you listen very carefully. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You want to have peace in your mind? Let me tell you what you got to do. You've got to go to war. You've got to go to war. Hey, don't let your mind do what it wants. Fight back. Want some good psychology? You can cancel your $150 trip to the psychologist. Don't let your mind do what it wants to do. Fight back. You, in submission to the Spirit of God, tell your mind you're not going to look at that filthy picture. You're going to control your mouth. You're not going to think that way. Some of you have had the problem where you've looked at pornography and there are things in your mind that you wish were not there. It's time for some of you to declare war on the pictures that are in your mind. You fight them. So I just can't seem to win. Fight to the death. There ought to be a battle that goes on the battlefield of your mind, and you ought to be telling your mind spiritually what it ought to think, what it ought to say, where it ought to go, how it ought to respond. Don't let your emotions do what they want. And I realize this is hard for some of you. You can tell your emotions what to do. Never were your emotions to control your life. You are to control your emotions. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then you must be an abusive parent. I wonder how many times my dad said, stop crying. And I did. You say, why? There was war on the horizon. And everybody here at one time or another has said to a child, suck it up. Be quiet. Because you believed that they could control their emotion if they wanted to. And there's some of you, you're a pacifist in your own mind, so you let your emotions and what you think go, you just let it run wild in your mind. Somebody here needs to declare war on your thinking processes. Those of you that justify your sinful behavior all the time, you do it in your mind. You need to let the conservative part of you slap the snot out of the liberal part of you and get you back in church and get you back in your Bible and get you on your knees and get you right with God and get your checkbook out and start tithing again and stop lying to yourself and stop babying yourself and you declare war on you. And I'll tell you what, that'd make my job easier. Because people get all mad at me because I'll tell them the truth because they won't tell themselves. You wouldn't need me to get huffy with you if you'd declare war on your own mind. Your mind is a battlefield. To give in to it will not produce peace. Winning the war is what will produce peace. Fight your bad attitude. There are people in this room, you have a bad attitude. You need to fight your attitude, which will produce eventual emotional peace. Fight your lust. Fight it. Say, Pastor, it's everywhere out there. Women flaunting their bosom and showing their thighs, and it's just everywhere. Fight! Fight! Fight your own mind. Don't give in to it. Fight your own carnal mind. What will that do? It'll produce peace. That's how you get peace. You go through the hurricane to get the calm after the storm. You go through Armageddon to get eternal peace and bliss. Sometimes in a family, there's a war to get peace. Sometimes in a country, there is war to get peace. Sometimes in a church, there is war to get peace. Sometimes in a school, There has to be war to get peace. In the human mind, there has to be war to get peace. And I'm finished, but let me make one more application. Lost people, unsaved people who want peace must realize it is war that made available the peace of God that comes to you by way of salvation. You, if you're here today and you're unsaved, I want you to understand something. Jesus went to war for you. He fought a war so you could have peace through God and with God in this thing called salvation. When salvation was made available to you, Jesus went to war with the devil and all of hell to make a thing called salvation available to you. He took care of your relationship. Jesus took care of paying a bill for you to be able to go to heaven. It was a war. You've all heard of the crucifixion? You know what they did? They beat Jesus. It was a bloody mess. What was he doing? Going to war. What for? So we could sing, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. You and I get the peace of knowing we're going to heaven because Jesus took on all of hell in a war so we could be born again. And if He is willing to do that for us, we ought to be willing to do that for Him. Salvation was bought through a war. If you're unsaved, Jesus went to war to purchase a peace for you. Now, you merely, simply, gently ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, and you take the free gift called salvation. As He hands it to you, glance at the nail-scarred hands and the blood and the crown of thorns on His brow. You get the peace. He fought the war. Peace. I call the sermon the pathway to peace. The storm comes, and we have the peace after the storm. Armageddon comes, we have eternity of bliss. Moms and dads, every once in a while, you just have to upset the apple cart. And I think you ought to do it with dignity, control yourself. But you'll disrupt the peace at home in an effort to stand for what's right. I think our country will need to do that. I hope our next president does not sell us up the river. I think churches need to do that. I think there are times when a church must stand for what's right and fight for what's right because the peace will be the eventual outcome. I think in your mind, if you'll fight your own mind, then peace is available. If you're here and you're lost, Jesus fought a battle for you. If you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, I want to invite you to the Savior. Somebody already paid the price. You don't have to fight that battle yourself. It's already been fought. You just accept the gift. You say, from who? Jesus, your mighty captain and warrior, just off the battlefield, making salvation available for the ones He loves. A pastor that loves his people will go to war for the sake of the peace that he wants them to eventually have. A dad, a husband, will go to war for the sake of the people that he loves. And that's how it ought to be. It's said there in Daniel 8:25, and by peace shall destroy many. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question, is there anybody under the sound of my voice that if you died today, you do not know for a fact that you'd go to heaven? And you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I thank God Jesus has fought the battle for me, but I'm not saved and I don't know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. I don't know I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. You put your hand up. We'll pray for you. Who here would say, Pastor, I see it. I see that I need to stand for what's right. And I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to get you to be rude. I'm not trying to be, I'm just telling you, You got to be willing to give up peace to stand for what's right. We ought to be willing to do without peace if we're doing what's right. What's right. And what's right is not what you want. What's right is not your emotion or your take on it. What's right is in the Scripture. It's what the Scripture teaches. It's what God stands for. But who here would say, Pastor, there's no doubt in my mind, the truth that's been taught from the book of Daniel, that's throughout the Scripture, I see it, and God has spoken to my heart about the pathway to peace. And you would raise your hand and say, I see it. That's good for me. That applies in my life. There's something there that'll help me. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to get you to start a war with anybody, but I am going to tell you there's going to come a moment when you're going to have to say to someone, I'm not going there. We're not doing that. It's not going to be that way. You say, but it'll cause tension. Some of you need to get a little backbone for the cause of right. I'm not saying be rude. I'm saying get some backbone for the cause of right. Because peace does not bring peace. War brings peace. We're going to have an altar call. I think there are people that need a moment at this altar. You got to come down here and pray and say, God, help me to handle this truth the right way. Help me to handle it right. You may just need to come and pray. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? If you do, you come. Mom, Dad, say, you know what? Just give them so much space. I don't want anybody here to be abusive toward anybody, but every once in a while, Mom and Dad, you just say, nope, that's how it's going to be. You say, well, wonder if they throw a fit. Well, let them throw a fit, but the truth of the matter is, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and you've got to stand for it. I thank God for my wife, but I'll promise you today, if I went to my wife and I said to her, that's not going to happen, now, first of all, I don't have to do that, but if I did, my wife would listen to me. But I'm not afraid to take a stand with my wife. You can ask my children. I'm not afraid to take a stand with my children. If I know scripturally something ought to take place, it's going to take place at the house. And it ought to be that way. Moms, you ought to take that kind of stand with your children. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be abusive. But you do have to be willing to give up peace to do right. To do the holy thing, to do the right thing. And by peace shall destroy many. What is it? The devil's going to come along and going to get us sold that it's peace, 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 peace. Drop your arms. Don't stand for anything. Give in. Become so flexible and so moldable that anything goes. Good God, good gravy, good devil, good everything. I'm sorry, that's not what God teaches. God said there comes a point when you put your foot down and say, this is how it's going to be. You say, but my daughter will throw a fit. Well, close the door, let her throw a fit behind closed doors. The pathway to peace. When peace is not so peaceful. And you don't fight just to fight. You fight for what's right. One more time through the song, please. The hurricane comes and there's a peace that follows the storm. Armageddon comes and there's a peace that follows Armageddon. We went through World War I and World War II, and there was peace in this nation that was incredible, the prosperity of our country and the peace of our country. We stopped showing them our teeth around the world, so they hit us. Now show them teeth again, they're going to back off. That's fine, Sarah.